the 9th of May, 1921. The official record of my capture, as it appeared in the daily papers the following day. On the 9th instant, a party of troops from Tralee proceeded to Farnfor to carry out punishments for the ambush of three constables. Three houses were destroyed. One officer proceeded to the house of Charles Daly, Cunacana Coulteens. Posts were placed around the farm, and the house was then approached. As the officer entered the house, a man jumped out of the window and ran away. As he refused to halt when called upon to do so, he was fired at and badly wounded. He was found to be John Shanahan, chemist's assistant, son of a chemist in Castle Island. He was wearing a Sam Brown belt, cartridge pouch, and a 380 revolver loaded with dum-dum ammunition. He had also in his possession a camera and some films which were found to be taken from the K.O.R.T. on the 23rd Ultimo when he was held up near Castle Island. An enemy agent, K.O.R.T., whatever that means, was captured on the Tralee Castle Island Road by Tim Leahy and his section at Cunakeen. The camera and exposed film was sent to our brigade headquarters in the Gap of Dunloe. And I, being the only one familiar with photography, was sent for and ordered to process the films. For company, I had Jack Crohan of Ballymacallagat, a very much wanted man by the enemy, and Jackie Bruston of Farnfor. When we arrived at Conbilly Dalles of Cunacana Coulteens, I sent a messenger to Tralee to procure the photographic equipment to process the films. Whilst I was anxiously awaiting its arrival, my two bodyguards decided that they would while away the time in the local public house in Ballyfinan, and they invited me to accompany them. But instead, I gave them a lecture on temperance. I was a strict teetotaler at the time. Later, Jack Rowan had always a great comeback at me. Shanahan, to hell with yourself and your temperance. If you had taken my advice that day, you wouldn't have been where you were. He had very good practical reasons for that opinion personally, as I had intimate knowledge that drink was responsible actually for saving his life on at least three previous occasions. Before the arrival of the messenger with the photographic equipment, I carried out all the preliminary arrangements, completely darkening the room with dark drapes over the window and door. The moment he arrived, I started work on developing the films and was thrilled to find that they were very, very important. There were actually photographs in depth of the defenses of several barracks throughout the county. Suddenly, the silence was shattered by a scream from the young girl in the kitchen. Jack, the soldiers! My God. I tear the drapes away and open the door and stare into the face of a British officer. He roared at me to surrender. I banged the door shut and bolted. I pulled the drapes off the window. I scrambled through. Immediately outside, I leap over a hedge and onto a sunken roadway and land into the middle of a group of enemy soldiers, 20 or 30 or more. The soldiers start firing indiscriminately, and I take evasive action for which I had been trained. But their sergeant, an old veteran from World War I, Sergeant Davis, to whom I shall refer later, withheld his fire. He knew, if I was to escape, that I had to pass a given point, and he fired just one shot. It brought me down. The bullet fractured the femur and blew away my pelvic arch. I was completely crippled. Although actually at the time I was hit, I believed that I was going to escape, but it was not to be. I am now taken prisoner. Two soldiers catch me by the legs and two more by the wrists. I am brought down to the sunken roadway in front of the house and thrown against a ditch. The old crippled lady, Mrs. Healy, 80 years or more, mother of Mr. Daly, is brought out of the house and put sitting beside me. Then the house was saturated with petrol and set on fire. Mrs. Daly was not allowed to take anything out of the house. The young girl of the house, May Daly, jumped on a horse bareback and went for a priest. And by an extraordinary providence, met one who was then on his way to another sick hall. He administered the last sacraments to me. This made me very happy and was a divine consolation. One soldier was left to guard me. At this stage, two lorry loads of black and tans arrived. They had already burned Jack Welch's house and Sonny Ulick's public house in Farn Four. But before doing so, they had loaded themselves with drink, and when they arrived, they were all very drunk. The sergeant in charge of the group put a gun to my head, and I thought that this was the end for me. My soldier guard protested. He's my prisoner, and I am responsible for him. If you shoot him, I'll shoot you. Although very drunk, this registered. The military officer then arrived. And now, the house was blazing. I was then thrown onto one of the black and tan lorries and brought to the RIC barracks in Farn Four. As they thought I was dying and wanted to interrogate me, I was put on a table in the day room. At this stage, I was bleeding profusely and with my hand on my abdomen hauling in my intestines. I still refused to tell them who I was, or any of the other things that they wanted to know. At any rate, I think I blacked out at this stage, and they lost patience with me. And I was again brought out and thrown on one of the lorries and brought onto Castle Island via Curra, as the main Castle Island Fallon 4 road was trenched and impassable. We parked in front of the railway station and I asked for a doctor. Indeed, not for medical reasons, but I wanted what conveyed to my family. This was refused, and roughly refused. We remained there about half an hour, and I can still, in memory, see what I then thought to be my last glance of the church spire in Castle Island, bathed in the evening sunshine from the top of Connachan. And so on and on and on to Ballymullen Military Barracks. I am dying, yes. Thank God I'm dying. Otherwise, a firing squad or the hangman's news. These are my thoughts as I pass through the gates. Until then, I did not even receive the most elementary first aid. I was installed in a small ward and put in bed by one of the orderlies. At this stage, I had bled pulseless and was almost collapsed. I received my first medical attention at 9 p.m. from Dr. Hargrave, a civilian doctor who was then their local medical attendant, as they hadn't any medical doctor attached to their unit.